self gets in the way, oh boy, does he get in the way. Your flesh is powerful. Don't underestimate the power of the flesh. Enjoy the lessons and the message this morning and the message last night. Excellent messages. We need those to encourage us that we believe the same thing. I listened to Richard's message and I said, thank you, God, because I believe the same thing. Well, everybody here ought to believe the same thing, because that's what the Bible teaches. We're going to consider love and submission. Oh, the power of love and the power of submission. How did Jesus Christ conquer the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so we won't perish. He defeated the forces of evil through love and submission. Our God is a God of love. God is love, and God is a God of submission. You take a look at Christ. He came down out of heaven. They spit on him. They beat him, whipped him, mocked him, and he went to the slaughter as a lamb. Didn't defend himself, and then they nailed him to a tree. And what's the first thing that came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're on the commands of God. How do you know the Lord? You obey him. Are we to obey the Lord in our home? Husband and wife relationships, are they on a crash course, worldly speaking? The world is a mess. Immorality runs rampant. In the Lord's church, we want that home pure and clean. We want the home to be pleasing to God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You listen to what God says. This is what the Creator of the universe said. He made us. We're in his image. He knows what's best for our home. Verse 22 says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The wife will submit to her husband in direct proportion to how she submits to the Lord. What a blessing it is. Submission. Is there power in submission? Submission isn't weak. It's the power of God. That's how he conquered the world. He submitted to evil, wicked forces, using the enemy to carry out his will. Isn't that amazing? You marvel at the wisdom of God. You submit to your husbands. For the husband is head of the wife. We need a head. Leadership in the home. That's the purpose of the husband, is to lead his wife and to guide her spiritually. The husband is the head. No corporation, business, anything is going to survive a country without a head, without leadership. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But the church is subject to Christ. So also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's a lot of love. How do husbands know if they love their wife? You're to lay aside all bitterness, all wrath, anger, clamor, malice, and you be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's how you know whether or not you love your wife, if you're kind to her, tender-hearted. Is that the kind of a man God wants? It is. He wants a man that will love his wife, that he might sanctify her. When a man loves his wife, he's going to sanctify her, set it apart for himself. She's not going to be looking around at anyone else. Having cleansed her, the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. That's quite a passage of scripture. Puts the responsibility on the husband and on the wife. The home is so important. Love is the perfect bond of unity. Dave has that radio program on money. Ramsey. Heard him say that money's the root and the problem. It's the number one reason for divorce in America. Phony baloney. You know what the number one reason is? Love is the perfect bond of unity. When you love one another, you know how strong love is? It's as strong as death. That's what my Bible says, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Love is as strong as death. That means it's permanent. Listen, if you love somebody, are you just going to cut them off? I love the Lord. You love the Lord. I love the church. Love, he goes on, it's just like Sheol, just strong as Sheol. It's the same, or as jealous as Sheol. It's the same as saying it's as strong as death. It's permanent. You love someone, you're not going to cast them off. In the Lord's church, are you going to see all kinds of problems, trials, struggles, and difficulties? Absolutely. Church I started in was a mess. Didn't bother me one bit. I just packed bags, said, "Dear, we're moving." And that's what we did. But I moved to a church that was stronger, not weaker. You love God? Is it permanent? You love your wife? Is it permanent? You love your husband? Is it permanent? It's permanent. That's it. Love surpasses knowledge. Oh, let's see. I've got to bring mine up. 267. This is quite a song. Love surpasses knowledge. You cannot write enough about love. You can't write enough to understand it, really, the love of God. Notice what it says in this song, 267, the love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Does he paint quite a picture on the love of God? And Richard did a good job on that this morning, the love of God. God's love is a powerful love. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We confidently say the Lord, he's our helper. Is he going to help us through everything? Every trial, every struggle? Same thing God wants in the home. God tells us exactly what he wants in the home. My wife was raised by a father that was just a jewel of a man. I don't know that I've ever met a man as patient as he was. My children know him. You couldn't get an argument out of him. He won't fight against you. Very humble, very, very meek. My wife picked up that same type of personality. She's very humble, very meek. She doesn't fight me. When I said it was time to move from Topeka, no qualms. And she had a very close relationship with her family. And we moved. Well, some will resist that. We shouldn't resist. And we moved several other times. Never once did she ever, ever complain. Does that make for a good home? Does that give the husband confidence? If the wife will not submit to the husband, it's going to cause him not to have confidence. You need a husband that is confident in the marriage. I know one thing absolutely for certain about my wife. I know she loves me. You know why I know that? She submits. Now, there's not a perfect man or a perfect woman in the world, or a perfect wife. Perfect husband, perfect wife, they don't exist. But are we going to be faithful to one another? We're going to be faithful to one another. What a blessing it is to have a home where you have a wife that's in submission to her husband. It's a blessing. It gives me confidence. We got to face the world out here. It's just a joy to my heart that she submits to, and she submits to God and His leadership also. Nothing as strong as love and submission. Many waters cannot quench love. If you were to give all of your possessions for love, it would be utterly despised. Isn't that amazing? You love one another, submit to one another. I can guarantee you absolute misery if you want it. Now, personally, I don't like to be miserable. You? Nope, I don't like misery. But if you want to be miserable, just abuse one another with your tongue. Abusive speech accomplishes absolutely nothing that's good. Don't abuse one another verbally. Is there a lot of verbal abuse in the home? Oh my. I've worked with people. They can say some of the most despicable, awful things to one another. Mad, angry, upset, throw things. We had an individual there in Topeka, and she was like a tiger. Ooh, she had a temper. Here comes a flying saucer. Well, it was a dish. Does that go on in the home? And another man that I loved that man, baptized him into Christ. Oh, he was a good man. But he had a tiger of a tank for a wife. He had to sit on her one time to keep her from hitting him. But he had to sit on her. That's terrible, isn't it? It starts a lot of times with the tongue. Just lickety-rip, tell them off, sharp, sarcastic. Is it easier to love or to hate? Easier to love. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. God's way is the best way. And the home, there isn't anything like the home. Love and submission. The beauty of it, and the beauty of God. Here God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created male and female. What's God's image? His image is love. God is love. And His image is submission, because He submitted, came down out of heaven for one reason, and that's to save us. Is the home in incredibly important to the survival of the nation and the survival of the children? Homes today are in a mess, and you know what it does to the children? It messes them up also. A lot of misery, a lot of woes, a lot of heartache because of the home. Wives, we're going to take the wives first. Be in submission to your husband. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, this is God's plan for the husband and the wife. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." Have you ever had an employer that was unreasonable? Oh, they're hard to get along with, aren't they? I've had a couple of those. I didn't like it. It's very difficult. But I understand what it's like to get along with an unreasonable man. And it takes someone who has their mind made up. They're not going to fight and quarrel. "For this finds favor If for the sake of conscience towards God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Then if you'll notice verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he suffered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives, as a servant is to submit, a slave, as Christ submitted to those wicked men, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wife. Can a man, a husband, see how his wife acts and reacts? Well, can we all see that? We're not ignorant of everybody else. Listen, do we know one another in the church pretty good? I'm visiting Sunday night after church, some of the folk there, talking about different people and personalities. And I said, yes, I said, my wife runs just like this on an even keel. She's like her dad. She loves. She won't fight you. You can't get her to fight. I said, I'm the same way, just like this. Now, what are you people laughing at? They did the same thing. They laughed. Do we know one another? I'm just a little bit more excitable than my wife. Wouldn't you agree, dear? She, what?
I do.
Oh, she does. I thought maybe she'd plead the fifth. Listen, we can't hide our behavior, can we? No, we can't. We're not ignorant, especially in the Church of Christ. Well, do we have a good fellowship? We do. We get along. And to get along, do you have to submit to one another? That's what my Bible says. We're to submit even to one another. Christ gained the victory through submission. And he wants the wives to follow that same pattern of living. It's the only one that's going to work. This is the command from the one that spoke everything into existence by the word of his power. Our God's a God of power. The gospel's the power of God unto salvation. I love the church. I love it. And didn't take me long to figure out this is the Lord's church, because it's based on the scriptures. And so goes the home, so goes the church. As that home goes, that church is going to go right with it. Homes are in trouble. I can't remember if it was Jerry or Richard talking about, you know, the world and the mess that it was in and so forth, probably both of them, but appreciated both of those messages. But we live in a crazy world, don't we? It's insane. Insanity means an unsound mind. The Bible says insanity is in the hearts of men. Ecclesiastes 9:3, it is. It's in the hearts of men. Don't kid yourself. You got an unsound mind at times. If you got bitterness and anger and hate and abusive speech coming out of your mouth, you've got an unsound mind, period. That's it. You're insane. It's not sound with what God says. You're off base. And you're miserable. You know it. How we treat one another makes a difference, doesn't it? Oh, my, does it make a difference. I'm glad my wife treats me with respect. And now I know with her, because I've lived with her for 50 years now. We kind of get to know one another after a while, don't we? Better believe we do. Christ gained a victory. Love. and submission. And you will gain the victory when you love and submit to one another. It's going to give you confidence. It's going to give you the power of God, because that is God's power, love and submission. Our God's a good God, isn't he? Oh my. God's love goes beyond measure, beyond our ability to comprehend or understand. You just can't understand. Love never fails. If you fail at something, it's because you didn't love it. Your home fails, just one of the love wasn't there, because it's the perfect bond of unity. It holds everything together. And what a blessing. Ruth chapter 1. This is, every wife ought to have the same commitment that Ruth does. Naomi and Elimelech made a bad decision. There was a famine in the land. They went to Moab and things got worse. She lost her husband. Her two daughters-in-law, their husbands died also. They're going to return back to Israel. And Naomi was urging two daughter-in-law to go back to their people. This is Ruth's response. This is a test of loyalty and dedication. This is no casual statement on her part. When she says this, she means it. Every wife ought to say the same thing. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." She means it. "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." And when she saw that she was determined, that's the way every wife needs to be determined, to honor God in the marriage, to submit, to go with her, she said no more to her. Ruth was quite a remarkable lady, wasn't she? In the genealogies of Jesus Christ. Husbands, you're to love your wife. You have the greater responsibility because you are the head. I want to read out of New Living Bible. Love is very patient and kind. Are you husbands very patient and kind to your wife? That's what God expects, demands. Never jealous or envious. You know why a husband will be jealous with his wife? You ever thought about it? I thought about that. My wife can talk to any man, doesn't bother me one bit. And I can talk to any woman, and it doesn't bother her. Because we're not jealous of one another. Our love is dedicated to one another, and we know it. If a husband is not treating his wife right, and she talks to another man, things are going to go on in his mind, and he's going to start getting jealous. You treat your wife right, you won't have to be jealous, because you love her, and love does not fail. It's permanent, and you understand one another, and you understand one another's love. And then you're going to honor God and serve God. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Well, I'll tell you, people can get awfully rude in the home. Oh, my. I work with people. I have had sat on their kitchen table, and they've wept and wept and wept because of a rotten, no good husband. Is it hard on the emotions? Hard on the mind? I got to have my wife. I've got three Bible studies that she goes with me on, and we love every one of them. Those Bible studies, they love it. And I know one of them. Hopefully all three of them. I had one Bible study with him for a year. He finally came to church Sunday night. I've been after him and after him and after him. And he loves to study. Actually, a month ago, I said, well, you know, I kind of finished this series. I've been studying a year. I didn't think they were going to make it. And he said, I really like these studies. He said, you're not going to stop, are you? I said, well, I guess not. No, I won't. And so we kept on studying, and we've been praying for him. And he finally came Sunday night. What a blessing. I have fun on those Bible studies. I'll talk more about that Thursday, but I do. I love them. I have fun on them. They're a joy. And I need my wife to help me. We've got one Bible study on Friday night, and my wife and I go, and we start at 7, and I have to actually end it at about 9:30. We get to talking a half an hour before about everything else, but the Bible, they like to visit, and so we visit. I mean, does a man need his wife? She's a helpmate, isn't she? But they love to study. And I finally just have to say, well, God, you know, just kind of bow out, because we'd still be there till midnight. Well, is it a joy to have your wife with you? Oh, absolutely. Love does not demand its own way, is not irritable or touchy. Boy, I want to tell you, we can get irritable and we can get awfully touchy. Oh, boy. Somebody said something to me, and oh, I'm so hurt and so wounded. I've had people leave the Lord's church because they got hurt. Somebody said something to me. Grow up. I've had so many things said to me, and nonsense. It does not hold grudges, will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him, no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. All spiritual gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. I thought he did a mighty good job on describing that passage. Oh, husband, love your wife, and she will honor and submit to you, unless she's got a fiery temper. There's some out there that are like that. But their husbands also get pretty nasty sometimes. But there isn't anything like loving your wife. And do you feel good about life when you do? You ever been bitter with somebody? Sure you have. You're a human. You've been bitter. What's it make you feel like? Absolutely rotten and miserable. Well, like you said, Mr. Devil, I'm through with you. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to have this bitterness in my life. I'm not going to let it happen. It'll destroy you. Make you miserable is what it'll do. It'll destroy you. I've seen people get bitter and just absolutely devastates them. Ecclesiastes 9. And Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Enjoy life with a woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. He has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life and your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Enjoy life with the woman you love. Who doesn't want to enjoy life? You want to enjoy life? This is how you do it. You love your wife. There isn't anything on the face of this earth like the church of Christ, not any church, and the home. Those are the two institutions that God established, the church and the home. And there's nothing on the face of this earth like it. Richard, talking about the Lord's Supper, there is not another meal on the face of this earth like the Lord's Supper, because I believe, as the Bible says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's the new covenant is the forgiveness of our sins. When you and I eat and drink that body and blood of Jesus, what are we doing? Covering ourselves in the blood of Jesus, and we have complete total forgiveness of sins. We need men that will love the Lord's church and love his wife. And when you're in the church and you love the church, you're going to love your wife. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? Things are going to blow up. And that's a shame to see men ruin their lives. In Malachi, and you're not going to have any old girlfriends and boyfriends, are you? No, you're not. Does that happen? Yes, it does. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's disgusting. Call up an old girlfriend and run off from his wife. You've got to be kidding me. Just lust of the flesh, isn't it? But you know what happens to those desires as you get older? They wane, friend, they wane. And just comes down, I love my wife, and I want to honor her, and I want to bless her. Men ought to get a little smarter, hadn't they, as they grow older? Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 says, and this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Till death do us part. A lot of us took that oath. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. You got a little bit of the Spirit, you're going to treat your wife right. And what did that one do while he was seeking godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit. Let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. You want your wife to respond to you, men? I can tell you how you can get your wife to respond to you. You can't treat her like dirt and expect her to respond in a favorable manner. You treat her wisely and righteously and pure and clean, that she's your wife, and she will respond to your love and to your affection. All right, we'll stop here. Nathan. Nathan is the next speaker. Love your wife, submit to your husband, and you are going to love life and see good days, because you're going to refrain your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from speaking guile. Don't you verbally abuse one another in the home. Don't do it. You destroy yourself. Nathan, turn it over to you.